The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
First pitch, and a fly ball, deep center, going back, Kane, at the wall, that is good!
Ready!
First pitch, and he sends a shockwave through the ballpark, and they're going crazy here in Atlanta. He is a dangerous, dangerous man. And he's high-fiving everyone down in that first base dugout.
I've never seen him celebrate so much, rounding the bases. He did it again, folks.
How sweet it is, baby!
Feel a little hungover today. I didn't have one drop last night. It is quiet in the Battery, Atlanta, where we broadcast from here today. Nobody's stirring around. It was a late night last night, baby. How sweet it is. Freddie Freeman, thank you very much. We're ready to go here on the Buck Belue Show, 680 The Fan, 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. We got the Fan mobile app. Listen on the smart speaker. Brought to you by South Point Financial. Buck Belue Show sponsored by our good friends at Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on the Fan, brought to you by the Haug Law Group. Our fantastic engineer, Sean Nerney, ready to roll today. Associate producer, Derek Thomas in the house. And Road Dog Gillespie, our fine producer, is working hard too. Man, that was fun last night, wasn't it? Man, that was so much fun.
Buck, you just brought up the Battery. Somebody, I don't know, maybe a size 12 or 13 pair of sneakers were left right on the side of my walk in to the building this morning. So
yeah, did you grab them?
If they're still there on the way out, I might.
You know, Nerney, I listen to you every time at the top of the show. It's not just empty conversation. I'm listening, Nick. Let's get to the big take.
Buck's big take.
Josh Hader, he's the best closer in the world today. This season, he had the highest strikeout rate in Major League history. They've been playing over 100 years, folks. 44%, if you're wondering. Hader closed out 34 of 35 save opportunities entering the postseason after finishing the regular season with 21 straight scoreless innings. Hader had not allowed a home run to a left-handed hitter since September of 2020. I believe that was Jason Hayward. And with two outs in a 4-4 game in the bottom of the eighth inning, Freddie Freeman took him deep to send our team back to the NLCS. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Freddie Freeman, as Kirby Smart would say, is elite. Get this man a new contract extension. The market value, 5 years, $122 to $136 million. You want me to break it down for you? Annually, that would be $24.5 million to $27.2 million per year.
You know, we've all been waiting for them to sign the contract, get the deal done. You know, it's actually played out pretty well for Freddie Freeman. I mean, his value is not going to be any higher after a night like he had last night. A
little leverage, right?
A little bit.
It's nice to have leverage, Betty, when your contract is up. I'm sure Freddie's representation feeling a little bit better about things. Yes, sirree. I'm going to go ahead and chop it up, man. This is a Braves show today.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
You know, the big moment for me recently would have been Ronald Acuna against the Dodgers in the postseason here at Truist Park. I believe it was 2018. Hit a grand slam, and the place went absolutely crazy. I was in the house with my sons that night, and we're still talking about that moment. Now we've got another one to hang on to put our arms around. Freddie Freeman creating another legendary moment last night. Let's hear from Freeman.
You know, these are the things that when I'm done playing, hopefully a long, long time from now, that I'll be able to look back and, you know, kind of remember this moment. And it's special. This is what you dream of when you're a kid, you know, you really do, hitting a homer to clinch a playoff. And for it to happen, it's kind of amazing. It really is. So it's kind of hard to put into words right now. It's still so fresh, but it's luckily we don't have to talk about that other part yet.
Electrified Braves country last night, not just here in Atlanta, but all over the Southeast. There are Braves fans all over this country that were electrified by that moment last night, especially the manager, Brian Snitker. He and Freeman go way back.
He's been unbelievable to me. You have no idea what he's meant to me in my time here. Kind of the go-to guy, somebody I can call. Talk to a lot, run things by him, trust his opinion, the maturity, just who he is, how he goes about it. He's been huge for me in my 6 years here. Huge.
You tell him, Snit, great job last night. Does it sound like Freddie is going to be going anywhere after the postseason? Doesn't to me, brother. I think we'll see him sign that extension sometime soon. All right, what are our chances in the NLCS? Now, we took the Dodgers to 7 games a year ago, and our man Dansby Swanson believes they've got a better shot at those guys this season.
Having 3 big frontline guys is huge for us right now. You know, even last year, I felt like Max and Ian both threw the ball really well, but and Kyle Wright threw the ball really well in that game against Miami. But having 2 guys at the top right there is huge for us. And we got all the faith in the world. And I feel like we have a deep lineup again and play just as good a defense. And I think the biggest difference now is we have the experience at this point in the year. So,
yeah, the experience. And you look at the way we started the NLCS a year ago against the Dodgers with our rotation. We had Fried. Max got the start in game 1. Ian Anderson started game 2. Kyle Wright started game 3. Best I can tell, we're set up this time around. Max Fried, again, will get the start in game 1. Best I can tell, on regular rest. In fact, extended rest. And then game 2, Charlie Morton on regular rest. Getting the ball, well, nothing's been announced, but I'm anticipating Charlie would start game 2. And then Anderson game 3. So I do believe we're better in the rotation heading into the NLCS and the way it sets up than we were a year ago. Man, that was fun last night. Doesn't get any better than that. Had some missed opportunities early in the game. First inning, second inning, third inning. Started getting a little concerned at that point in time. Leaving some runners on, that kind of thing, but... And we came through late. Charlie Morton, by the way, on 3 days rest. I thought Charlie did exactly what the Braves needed him to do last night. Pitched into the 4th inning and doing solid work. Charlie Morton, great job last night, man. And then how about Will Smith? Here's a guy that has been criticized all season long about having so much drama trying to close out these games. Well, Will didn't have any problem closing it out last night. Struck out Yelich, watching to end the game. Great job, Will Smith. Stepping up. You had adversity during the year. And we're seeing the best version of Will Smith here at the end of the season, Ernie.
And credit to Brian Snitker for going with Charlie Morton last night, because that first inning got really, really hairy. And if you've got a guy out there on the mound who isn't a seasoned vet like Charlie Morton, who knows what happens? I mean, if you got Enoa starting yesterday's game and he gets into that kind of trouble, you know, because, I mean, the Brewers, I mean, they were going all out yesterday. I mean, they had the bats going early in that ballgame. If you have somebody who is not as, you know, confident as Charlie Morton, I mean, who knows how that game goes? He got out of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's what you expect out of Charlie, right? Big game Charlie is what he is. And then Hader came in, and I was thinking, oh, Lord, Hader. As I mentioned off the top, the best closer in the world today. And so you knew that runs were going to be hard to come by. And then how about the first two at-bats of the inning against Hader? Didn't exactly go very well. As we had Rosario struck out, he was swinging at pitches that were landing in front of home plate. You had Dansby strike out, and look, it's a tough at-bat against this guy. Dansby doing the same thing, looking fastball, getting slider. That ball was hitting out in front of the batter's box. Got to be tough, right? Swanson struck out, and Freeman went up there. And the talk before the game was Freeman, in batting practice, his focus all day long, he was going to take those pitches opposite way. He was going to take it left of second base, and that was his focus. And he got a mistake by Hader, slider right in the middle of the strike zone. And Freddie, with a great approach, looking to take him oppo, he took him oppo all right over the fence, and the party was on, baby. Doesn't get any better than that. What a great moment for us. All right, coming up next on the show, we'll talk to Chris Mortensen, bounce around the NFL. We'll ask him about the Braves' big win. Mort, you know, used to cover the Braves living here in Atlanta a few years ago. Got the latest on JT Daniels. That's coming up next on the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The pitch on the way. Got him looking strike three.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
And the Braves are heading to the National League Championship Series for the second year in a row. They have eliminated the Milwaukee Brewers. And they win here in Atlanta in front of 40,000 strong. And this place is going crazy here in Atlanta.
Magical night last night. Thank you, Freddie Freeman and the Atlanta Braves. Man, that was fun. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Wednesday, 10:20. Hey, it's time for Chris Mortensen.
For the latest on the NFL, we turn to the fan's truest NFL reporter, Chris Mortensen. Presented by the Atlanta Painting Company, Atlanta's premier residential and commercial painting company. Call 1-800-PAINTING or visit AtlantaPaintingCompany.com.
Mort, that was fun last night. I hope you caught it. Freddie Freeman taking Hader deep. The place is still on fire here.
Oh, I caught it. In fact, I can't remember when I was so exhausted from a weekend and obviously dealing with a lot of different stories. I mean, Urban Meyer feels like it was 2 years ago when so the John Gruden story comes forward. Not to mention we had some great games, and we had obviously on Monday night an extended game because of the rain out. So, and then travel. So here I am, 69 years old, And I'm still up watching the Braves game, and my wife, Mickey, comes in, and she goes, I thought you were tired. I says, I'm not tired until this game finishes with the Braves win. And no sooner did I say that than Freddie Freeman homered.
And you've got a connection to this team, this organization. You used to cover these guys back in the day.
Yeah, a lot of people probably don't realize that the reason I came to Atlanta, and that was back in, I can't remember if it was 82 or 83, but I was, I'd been covering baseball out in Los Angeles. I had been covering the Dodgers, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was looking for another beat writer to cover the Braves. And so I really liked Atlanta when in my travels when I was doing the Dodgers. And Dusty Baker, actually, who was with the Dodgers, who had been through Atlanta, as you know, he actually told me great things about Atlanta. So I came to the city to cover the Braves, which I did until I moved over to the Falcons because I met my wife, Mickey, in the press box at the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. And so, you know, listen, that's where I got to know, obviously, the Del Murphys and all the great players they had on that team, and still will maintain, as you know, and I won't go into a diatribe about it, that Murph belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame. But yeah, I'm still connected to the team and very much pulling for them.
Yeah, we had Murph on the show earlier this week. So, Mort, let's get to the NFL action there. What can you add to this John Gruden situation?
Listen, here's what I'll say. It's like, to me, it's a story where there's nothing that has come out that surprises me. And when I told that to somebody, said, so you actually tolerated those things he said? I said, no, because I didn't hear those specific words. But John has never had a filter behind the scenes. He really hasn't. Now, when he starts infusing some of those words and the slanders and the, whatever people want to call those, the racist comments, I probably would have said, hey, John, you use those words around somebody, use those words around somebody else. But he was so really upset about what was going on with the lockout. Because he had coaches' friends who were being asked to take pay cuts. He had players that were being locked out. He saw the game being changed in terms of the off season being cut back and what you did in practice, padded practices, old time school coaches. There is a lot of things that are said in locker rooms and certain coaches' offices that people would cringe at. But when you put them in an email and you send it to another executive in the league and it comes out, there's going to be blowback, and there should be blowback. That being said, I think this was something where the league wasn't sure they had a foundation to do any discipline against Gruden, but the pressure on Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, as well as the fact that it was clear that there were going to be more emails that were going to surface, and John didn't want to be any more of a distraction or cause any more pain than already had happened.
Mort, so the Falcons get a win over in London, taking down the Jets. Man, that was great to see. We'll take all the winning we can get with our Atlanta Falcons. Did you ever get any information on Calvin Ridley and why he was missing?
No, I did not. The only thing I was told is that, hey, Calvin's going to be all right.
Well, that's good news.
Calvin's going to be all right. And it sounded to me like sooner than later. And, listen, I didn't get to watch the game because we were actually going on air. But I glimpsed over at the TV once in a while. And I'll say this. You know, it's not easy to win a game in this league. So people shouldn't discount a win over the Jets. I've heard some people say, well, it was the Jets. Well, you know what? The Jets won the week before, didn't they? So I think it was good. I think it was good for Matt Ryan, you know, with Calvin Ridley out of the lineup. Obviously, it's like, okay, now Kyle Pitts has to become a bigger part of it. And I think what happened is that it creates a chemistry and confidence with Matt Ryan, a veteran quarterback, who says, okay, I know maybe he said he could trust the guy, but he knows now they can do more with it. And certainly Arthur Smith has always had a vision for how Kyle Pitts fit in this offense.
Yeah, I got a kick out of Kyle Pitts. He caught that first touchdown pass in the National Football League. He wasn't giving that thing up as he took it back to the sideline. A little different than Mac Jones, who refused to accept that first touchdown pass ball.
Mac's going to ask for that. We're going to try and find that football one day.
Yeah, for sure.
Mac's going to be putting out a search for that football one day.
He just didn't want everybody see him reaching for it. So we got a big Thursday night game, Buccaneers and Eagles. What are you hearing about Tom Brady's thumb?
Yeah, I hear he's fine. Listen, it happened in the game, and I realize that it's sometimes post game is when you start to feel a lot of the pain. And fine, but it is on his throwing hand, so there'll be an adjustment. He won't be the first to have, you know, that's plagued with something like that. It's not fractured. There's no ligament damage that we know of. You know, he is facing an Eagles team that kind of came alive. I realize that the Eagles beat the Falcons in the opener, but they had lost three straight. Kind of came alive, and it came after a week in which their head coach, Nick Sirianni, chewed out their defensive coordinator and defensive staff for the way they were playing and the schemes they were using, and they went out and played a ball game the other night. Now, they don't have Brandon Graham. He's out for the season, their defensive lineman. But the one thing that we know is that the Eagles, traditionally, their defensive line has been able to put pressure on the quarterback. And that's how Tom hit his thumb. And as you know, quarterbacks hit their thumbs on defensive linemen's helmets and shoulders, and it don't feel good.
No, I used to really obsess over that, man, protecting your hands as much as you could. If you can't grip the ball, you can't play at the quarterback spot. Mort, are you hearing people saying they're asking Brady to do too much? He's 44 years old. I know he's the GOAT, but they're throwing it 40 to 50 times a game.
We'll see if there's an accumulation of hits that comes with that. Yeah, I mean, listen, he was the AFC player of the offensive player of the week. Interesting that he'd never thrown for 400 plus yards and four TDs, whatever he did, with no interceptions in his career after all those years. And what matters is the W. I think that running the football, and Leonard Fournette is having a presence. I think it'll be there. I think the key thing is if you're going to play that way, you got to make sure you're protecting your quarterback, and he's protecting himself.
What are people saying about the Chiefs?
I think that people have, inside the league I've talked to, have looked at them. You know, said, hey, listen, this team is their offensive line. It's going to take a while for them to come together. Even though, by the way, they had started to run the ball the previous 2 weeks. Felt that Patrick Mahomes, you know, the guy had toe surgery, shouldn't have been playing in the Super Bowl. He was still maybe recovering somewhat from that. And it's a tricky surgery. You see him running, you say, well, there's nothing bothering, but you know, there's certain subtle things people see. And I think that the defense, you know, is just flat out awful. Now I can remember the year that Tony Dungy, I think the year the Colts won their Super Bowl in December, say they can't stop the run. They'll never win the Super Bowl. And Tony kept saying, hey, just give it a time. We're just misaligned. We need gap assignments. We need people to stay disciplined. We'll be fine. And Jaguars ran for 300 some yards against them. Guess what? They fixed it. But a lot of people, I'm not sure this is going to get fixed in Kansas City. And people no longer see them as, you know, unbeatable. And I think the Bills did everything in the offseason to make sure they addressed some things, because they know the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC goes through Kansas City.
NFL insider Chris Mortensen every Wednesday here on the Buck Belue Show. Mort, thanks for coming on and dropping some knowledge on us again today. Now go rest up.
Buck, go Braves. There's no time for rest. Let's go.
I hear you, brother. Great having Mort on. He joined us on the Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line. Got a little college football we need to hit, Nerns.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, one day closer to the showdown over in Athens on Saturday. Georgia, Kentucky. Game day showing up. SEC Nation showing up. Another showdown game for the Bulldogs. Find out what Kirby has to say about the JT Daniels update coming out of practice yesterday.
He got to throw a lot on Monday. So Monday he threw, I want to say, 30 or 40 balls, and he got upwards of 30 yards. Felt pretty good. Took some snaps. We didn't do a whole bunch Monday. We didn't do as much as we normally do. And then today he probably didn't do as much. And so he was a little more limited. He took some snaps. He threw the ball some, but we're kind of going off Ron's protocol. He has him on a pitch count daily following that. And then we check and see if he swells or if he has any soreness after it. And good news is he hasn't had any soreness the last 2 days, not extensive soreness. And we were able to go back the next day and continue to get some. But he hadn't been able to do a whole lot, a little more than he did the week before.
All right, so let me give you the translation on that. JT Daniels is coming along nicely. No setbacks. Probably ready to go on Saturday.
Now, the rub is next week Georgia has a bye week heading into the Florida game at Jacksonville. So do they hold him out of the game on Saturday, ensuring he will be ready to go against Florida coming up in a couple of weeks? Reading the tea leaves on that, and you heard what I said, I may have heard what I said yesterday, is JT Daniels needs game reps heading into the Florida game. So if he's healthy, if he's ready to go, if he's close to 100%, not feeling pain, I think they got to get him plugged in there and let him play against Kentucky on Saturday. When JT does not play, this is a different offense. It becomes a run-first offense. And you look, with JT out so far a lot this season, the run the run-pass ratio, 63% run for the Georgia Bulldogs so far this year. And that is the highest since Kirby took over. The first year, they were 68% run. A lot of talk during this offseason about throwing the ball more. And it goes deeper than just the quarterback being injured. Also, the wide receiver core for the third year in a row has been an issue. This wide receiver core is depleted. Jermaine Burton, no catches last week. Barely got out. Kyaris Jackson, two catches in the Auburn game. And you're starting, a freshman at the X wide receiver spot in Ad Mitchell. Top three receivers for Georgia, they've been gone for the last two games. So it's not only JT Daniels, it's this wide receiver position. They need to get him healed up and back out on the field. And that'll do it for your nugget. And that will lead us right into the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
One day closer to the big showdown with undefeated Kentucky in Athens on Saturday. And more on this Bulldog offense, man. You look at Georgia running the football, number 28 in college football in rushing yards. Number 54 in passing yards. 49th in total yards. You know, I've never been a big fan of the yards thing. I'm a big fan of points, and you look at Georgia, number 12 offensively in points scored, just a tad under 40 points a game, in spite of the fact you've had your number one quarterback dinged up most of the year, and you've had a wide receiver position that has been depleted here early in the season. The points don't seem to be a problem. They still manage to get the job done. Defensively, we've bragged on them over and over again, and there's a lot to brag on, man. That front seven, the best in college football, and they are loaded up with big Jordan Davis in the middle. You got big Carter inside. You got those inside linebackers that are a force. Channing Tindall, N'Kobe Dean, those guys have been fantastic. Then you got Anderson and Smith coming off the edge. Hey, that's a lot to handle, and I bet Kentucky meeting overtime trying to get that offensively, trying to get a good plan in place for the Georgia Bulldogs. Earlier this week, I caught up with Georgia tight end John Fitzpatrick, and here's that interview. Joining us now on the Buck Ballou Show, 680 The Fan, Bulldog tight end John Fitzpatrick. Congrats on the win over Auburn. That's got to be awesome. Before we look ahead, let's look back real quick. Going in and quieting a crowd that was really electric early in that game at Jordan-Hare.
They definitely were electric. They were crazy coming out. And that was a big thing that we focused on all week in practice. We had the crowd noise pumping in the indoor through the speakers, and we focused on being on sides and little things like that. So when it came to the game time, we executed.
The run game, you guys have gotten that run game going, man, the last couple of games. People were wondering earlier, a couple of weeks ago, about what's the deal with Georgia's running game? You guys have put it together, very impressive the last 2 weeks. What's been the key to making that happen, John?
I think it's taking focus in practice, and it all comes down to execution. And then in practice, you know, we're being louder with our points. We're communicating and working with the tackles every single day in practice during individual period and what we can do better on these type of blocks and whatnot. And I know the guards, centers and guards are doing the same thing. So it's all falling to plan.
Big Darnell Washington back in there helped block, get some holes in that run game going. That's got to help a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does. Anytime you get someone back from injury, it's exciting. And we're excited to have him back.
And Big Jones came in at left tackle when Salyer went down and looked like he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a great job. And there's been a ton of rotation all year, and there was no drop-off with Broderick. He's a great player. He's strong. He's physical. He's good at communicating, which is one of the most important things about being a tackle in the SEC, and I'm real proud of him.
John, talk about these running backs. You guys line them up deep. This has got to be the deepest running back room in college football. Zamir White with another big game this past week. Cook, Milton, McIntosh, Edwards. Talk about that group for me.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to have five backs that can seriously, you know, they could be anywhere right now and probably going for 1,000 yards, but they're all here and we're thankful for that. They're incredible. They run hard. They practice hard. In the film room, in meetings, they're working hard. And, you know, it's nice to have them on the team. They're doing a great job.
John, do you just get hit up everywhere you go on campus about the quarterback situation? Stetson with a really clean game against Auburn, that was impressive. And hopefully you guys get JT Daniels back pretty quick. Do you get hit up all the time about this?
From time to time, but, you know, my answer is always the same. It's whoever the coaches call upon, we're confident in, and we rotate quarterbacks all the time, from JT to Carson to Stet, so it really doesn't matter who's up there. We're confident in them. We trust in them, and we know they're going to lead us to victory.
All right, when you hear when somebody throws out Kentucky Wildcats, talking about the football program, what's your first thought when you hear Kentucky come up?
I think of strong defense, and I think of an older group. And anytime a group has experience like they have, it's going to be a challenge for us come Saturday.
I think physical. You guys have played some really physical game. I believe the last time they came to Athens, it was a 14-3 game. Mm-hmm. They play rugged, rough and tough, and you guys can play that style.
No, we definitely can, and we will, and we'll practice all week just like that, and we'll be ready for whatever they bring.
Boy, the challengers in the SEC, you get ready to take on these challengers. It seems like every week you got a quality team showing up.
That's right. Every team in the SEC can come in and win games, and every week it's going to be a challenge, so we have to take each week as it comes and practice accordingly.
John, keep up the great work. Bulldogs looking good right now, number one. On the way out, is that something? I'm sure you guys are excited to be up there, number one, but isn't it most important you're number one at the end of the season?
Yeah, right now the number one ranking really doesn't matter at all to us. You know, I'd say it could be a distraction for other teams, and maybe outside the locker room, fans would be worried it's a distraction for us, but I trust in this team and the coaches, and I know it's not going to be a distraction for us, and I'm confident in that.
Really good leadership group you're a part of. Keep up the great work. Best of luck against those Wildcats.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great having John Fitzpatrick on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a look ahead to the NLCS coming up next. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
I think so. You know, we all went home with a bad taste in our mouth last year, you know, losing that lead to the Dodgers. So yeah, we're excited to get there, whoever.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
We play, whether it be San Fran or L.A., you know, we'll be ready to go.
Braves closer Will Smith after the game last night. Boy, he was excited, and they should have been. It's the Buck Ballew Show here on The Fan. Remember now, if you missed the show between 10 and 11, you can always catch the Buck Ballew Show podcast later in the day. 680thefan.com or on that Fan mobile app. You can find it there. Man, what a great night last night. And now we look ahead to what the future might bring. We got to wait on this LA-San Francisco series to get wrapped up before we figure out who we're going to play in the NLCS. We do know this, is the NLCS will start on Saturday. And if we face the Dodgers, we'll get Game 1 and Game 2 this coming weekend here in Atlanta. Truist Ballpark will host Game 1 and Game 2. Now, if it's San Francisco, then we've got to travel. We go out to Frisco and play Game 1 and 2 in the Giants' backyard. So just sit and wait and rest up and get ready for a big NLCS. Let's hear from Brian Snitker. Snit's believing we got a better shot this time around than we did a year ago.
I think we're in a better position this year. I mean, we were kind of piecing that starting thing together all last year. And now we're, you know, we got three guys that are pretty good and are battle-tested and have been through the wars. And I'm sure we're going to have to add another one or, you know, maybe do kind of what we did today type thing. But we'll see when we get there. But, yeah, I think we're in a lot better position now than we were a year ago. And, we were a game away from getting to where we wanted to go last year. So I like our chances.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I find myself, I'm wanting the Dodgers. As a fan of the Braves, I want to see us get a little revenge on those guys from what happened a year ago. Plus, if we get the Dodgers, selfishly, we start the series here in Atlanta at Truist Park. And we get to see it right here Saturday and Sunday. So I don't know about you. You guys, you ladies, guys out there listening, not sure how you feel about it. I'm hoping we get the Dodgers and we see it get underway here this weekend in Atlanta. And looks like to me that the Braves... Really a big advantage of being able to rest up and get everybody in place. Hadn't talked to Snit about this, but it looks like to me Fried would go on Saturday in Game 1 taking on Scherzer if it's the Dodgers. Game 2 on Sunday, Morton would be ready on regular rest, and so would Buehler. Hello, Buehler. So that looks like a potential matchup in Games 1 and Game 2. San Francisco, they're throwing their ace, Logan Webb, in Game 5 tomorrow night, and so they would have to push him back. We wouldn't see him potentially until Game 3 if we face the Giants. So that seems like a little bit of an advantage for us, too. As far as Soler goes, you know, it sort of got lost in the excitement yesterday of Soler testing positive for COVID, so now his future as far as the playoffs, the postseason go, man, it's up in the air right now. And this is a guy, I'd love to have him in the lineup. I don't want to see us go without Soler setting the table there at the top of the lineup. He'd play long ball at any at bat, so we'll keep an eye on that. Best case, I guess he would be out 5 days. Worst case, 10 days. Hopefully we'll get the best case on that. Want to give you a heads up, Chuck and Chernoff and the Audio Fun Bag will be broadcasting live from Punch Bowl Social inside the Battery Atlanta today. Come hang out with the guys and compete at bowling, billiards, ping pong, and so much more. Punch Bowl Social, your college football destination. Time for the final word. I've got some great news. The Braves are set up to be a contender for years to come. We're going to be hanging around the postseason for a while, guys. So get used to this October fun at the ballpark here at Truist. Check out the young core. Acuna's 23. Albies and Riley are 24. Freed, Anderson, and Soroka, 27, 23, and 24. Langeliers, the top catching prospect, is on the verge of breaking in. So is Pache. They're 23 and 22. Swanson and Freeman are about to get locked down to contract extensions. I'm counting on it, AA, get it done. Speaking of Anthopoulos, with all this young core, we've already seen Alex add to what he's already got. He's a genius at this, not giving up a ton. You get people that can come in and help. Alex, job well done this season. Need you to continue to do that over the next five. Braves country, this run of success the last 4 years is going to continue for our enjoyment. I'll tell you what, here's a phone number. Write it down, 404-577-9100. That's 404-577-9100. That's the Braves season ticket hotline. You want to be a part of this, we're going to be hanging around the postseason for years to come. Nerney, outstanding job. DT, we appreciate your road dog. Appreciate you, too. That's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. We got Nick and Chris coming up next here on The Fan.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.